Today I want to take or have our, each of us ourselves reflect on what we could call our remarkable journey. There was a fellow that I came across, and I've known who he was for a number of years, but he grew up in Staten Island, and by some coincidence, he got connected with or introduced to a major mafia figure. And as a teenager, he became the courier for that particular family. And in the process of that, he became introduced to underworld figures. He became introduced to Hollywood luminaries or stars. He became indirectly exposed to high political office holders. He knew some of the circumstances behind Marilyn's demise. It was not an accident. He knew somewhat of the condition or the circumstances that led to Kennedy's assassination. It was amazing how much this fellow knew. In the process, he was given diplomatic immunity, and he became a courier between the Vatican and the mob. He's carrying millions of dollars of laundered cash between these two entities. He comes into the country with diplomatic immunity. Nobody ever checked anything. And there was a major movie that was going to be produced. This was sometime prior to that. The mob didn't want it produced. It was a major movie. You'd all recognize it. He intervened between his mob people and Hollywood. And he ironed out the particulars that allowed them to give the go-ahead on this movie because it portrayed so many aspects of that life that they were uncomfortable with. And to cap it all off, he got himself cast as one of the actors in that movie. It was incredible. And as I'm listening to his story, his life story, it occurred to me, what an incredible life this man had. And it made me think, have we ever considered our own lives? Because each of us has a major story to tell as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we read this, because here is another luminary who has related to us his life story, and what a remarkable story it is. It says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. But speaking of this individual, he was caught up into the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether he experienced this physically or whether it was just a vision, he couldn't say. It was so vivid. God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard things impossible to relate. Words which is not lawful for a man to utter. Just indescribable things. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities." Now, we suspect Paul is referring to himself, but consider how he was given this privilege of seeing things in reality as real as it could be. Paul had some amazing personal experiences. In the resurrection, I think he is one fellow I'm going to want to go and talk to, because I'm sure he's going to have so many stories. In 2 Corinthians 11, he goes on with some of his personal experiences. And he's somewhat reticent in having to relate this, but because of what people were doing and saying about him, he thought it would be important to lay out a comparison against those who thought more of themselves than perhaps they should have. But he says, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also, for you suffer fools gladly, seeing you yourselves are wise, for you suffer. If a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, and he says, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. That's just some of the things that he experienced. Can you imagine what that man's life story is going to be told when we see it in its fullest extent? Now, we have a booklet that we have produced that sort of gives some of our church history. I'm sure most of you have seen it. And that's an example of our congregational history. But what about personal history? Have you ever stopped and reflected back on your own life experiences? What brings you to the state you're in today? And what does that suggest as we look to the future? Where were you born? Where were you raised? What was the home environment that you grew up in? How did you come into the truth? What was your religious background before that? What made the truth ring clear to you, make sense? Because to most people it doesn't. What was the point in time when you decided to make the commitment? Because every person has that. You come to a point, and once you make that commitment, that is what makes all the difference. That is what sets us on the path, that famous narrow gate that is spoken of. What succession of blessings have you experienced in life? The blessing of being introduced to the truth, the blessing of being called, because not everyone is called. We know that. What were the trials of life that you had to experience? What about the church environment that you grew up into and hopefully grew in grace and knowledge? We had to learn things. We had to unlearn things. We had to learn what our mistakes were and how to assess them and how to correct them, what not to do as well as what to do. Many of us have had interactions with people that we hold a high regard for, that we look to as teachers. Sometimes we experience disappointments. We had to learn what was valuable and what was not. These were stepping stones that gave us the orientation of where we are today. Each one of us has faced unique growth experiences. And I'm sure, in every case, there is a story. I would like to talk to the Apostle Paul. I would like to talk to Abraham. I would love to hear some of the things that formed their life experience. But guess what? They may want to hear ours. What would we relate to them? What would we hold in our own minds as far as looking back on where we came from and where we're going? Because that's what we need to do to get our bearings, to get our orientation, looking forward to the future that lies before us. The stories that we have to tell are certainly not common in the world. It was revealed very clearly that the majority are encompassed in blindness. In some cases, their own. In some cases, it was imposed upon them. In Matthew 13, Jesus said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Looking at that verse, we're forced to realize that being called of God is a privilege. Our calling is specific. In Romans chapter 9, Paul makes this point. And speaking of Jacob and Esau, what's the difference there? What was the difference really? He says, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls." For whatever reason, God chose Jacob over Esau. Now, Esau will have his time, but he used Jacob in a particular way. He favored him. It isn't like Esau had done anything that would warrant that. It's just, it was God's selection. And that's an important thing to understand about our calling, that it's not so much anything we did, and not so much our choice. God opened our eyes to the truth. That was a privilege. That was something we were given. It does not reflect on our own credit necessarily. Now, our response was, but the fact that God called us gave us an awareness of his purpose and his plan. and chose to use us in the furtherance of his work. That is a privilege. We have an awesome future. We're being prepared for rulership. It's incredible. Do we think about that? Is that our focus in life, on what is coming, what is offered to us in the future? In Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, we read this. And this is the just resurrected saints, where it says, they sung a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain and hast redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. What a profound picture of our future. Are we oriented to the present, or are we oriented to our future? Makes a big difference. But knowing where we came from, how we got to this point, can have a major impact on our orientation. Now, all of us have different experiences, but it should be the same vision. We're told that we ought to be thoroughly equipped unto all good works. We have a part to play. It's not all just given to us. There are many people in the world whose stories I'm sure we would regard very highly. People with credentials. People of accomplishment. People whose credentials and accomplishment in some ways may be better than our own. But something is missing. Jesus spoke of these kind of people. And there's a place. They will be given opportunity to fix what needs to be fixed. But Jesus said this of them, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out devils? And in your name done many wonderful works? We would think that would get a positive response. But then he says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. There's something missing there in the experience. People love to be religious. They love to pose as being religious. There's many things that people do that leave others with the impression of their great religiousness. That isn't necessarily what God is looking for. Once called, we're called to be lights, witnesses, to represent his truth to others as best we can. We should be inspiring to other people in that we're going to be future patriarchs destined for a high office. There's a point in time when we're going to be talking to our resurrected friends and relatives who knew us in this life. We're going to have to relate our experiences because they will be going through a similar thing in their time. In this life, we can so easily be a huge turnoff. There's approaches we can use that just turn people off. And that's a skill that we learn by experience how not to do that. As a congregation, let's realize that judgment is now upon the house of God. We're told that in 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now in that place we're going to experience one of three Greek words that is translated judgment. This one is number 2917, krema, which is not, you know, we tend to look at judgment when we hear of it as though it were a sentencing or a condemnation. That's not what this word means. This is a word that indicates making a decision. This is weighing the evidence kind of a thing. That's the kind of judgment it is. But the house of God is under that judgment at this point in time. We need to energize and to maintain our spiritual growth dynamic. Are we doing that? Reviewing where we've come from and what brings us to this point is a good basis to orient ourselves towards the future growth that we need to be doing. We're running this race, and we need to run it with endurance. And to do that, you have to have a focus on the goal. We are born to a specific calling. Now, Satan knows who and where God's people are. There are forces arrayed against us that we don't even see. But in Romans 8:31 we read, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" You see, we have a counterforce that's arrayed as well. Satan does not have to achieve a victory over us. But it matters where we're oriented. There's a day when we're going to have to give account for our lives, to relate the experience that I'm asking that we consider of ourselves right now. Where have we been? Where are we going? Reflecting back on how we've gotten to this point can give us our bearings in life and in our conduct of the way. That's what Christianity was originally called, the way. Knowing where we came from can provide us the foundation, or it's actually the structure of our lives. Our experience are the structure of our lives. And when we have a good perspective of our past, it aligns our minds towards the trajectory of our future. Upon becoming appointed the Prime Minister in Britain in the early years of World War II, and this was a quote by Winston Churchill, and keep in mind, he was not campaigning for that office. He was given it abruptly when others were under consideration. But I'm sure God's hand was in it because he was the man, the right man, to lead Britain in those years. But upon leaving that meeting where he was appointed, he said this. He says, "I felt as if I were walking with destiny, and that all my past life had been but a preparation for this hour and for this trial." We too are walking with destiny. I don't know if we realize it to the degree that we should. But in Romans 8:29, it explains that we are destined for a future. We are destined for being created in the likeness of our Lord and Savior. It says, For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We have been destined in advance to a particular situation. This is not to be a spectator activity. We must commit to the narrow path. In Matthew 7 it says, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Just think about this. We have a freedom that so many don't have. And one of those freedoms is from not having a good answer to life's basic questions. We have been enlightened. God has called us. He's given us His Spirit. And that Spirit allows us to understand in a dimension that a casual reader cannot understand. So many people say, I can't understand the Bible, the real point. They can read the words, they know the language, but somehow it doesn't ring through to them. In 1 John 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We are to walk in an enlightened state. And that's where the enlightenment comes from. Walking in the light. I have here a rather lengthy description of the Apostle Paul's life story. I'm not going to take the time to go through it. Perhaps we can go through this in a future Bible study. But let's consider somewhat of where he came from. He was raised in an established religion, a religion that embraced traditions over truth. He was personally hostile against God to begin with. He didn't think so. He thought his religious teachings were the right. He had to be struck down by personal direct intervention on the road to Damascus to make him aware that his perceptions of himself to that point in time were not right. In his younger life, he was trained by the best of the best. Did it matter? God interrupted his life's course. And he separated him for personal direct instruction. He had some interactions with recognized spiritual counselors of his time, the apostles, a few apostles. He was persecuted by his former compatriots. He was brought before the highest authorities. He was exposed to all kinds of physical dangers, and we read of some of those a few minutes ago. He was exposed to death in the arena. Paul fought with beasts in the arena. Can you imagine that? And then at some point in his career, I feel it was him, he was given a privilege that is perhaps unique in all of history, where he was conveyed into the heavenly realm and he saw the reality that is described to us in the scriptures of what God's throne in heaven is like. And then finally, he accepted martyrdom. He was ultimately martyred. In 2 Timothy 4:7, he understood what was impending. He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day." Paul is reflecting back on his life to that point in time. And I want us to do the same. Think about what brings you to this point in your life. How has God called you? What has He revealed to you? And then, what is our response to that? Are we just going to sit back and float along? Or are we going to press to the high mark, the calling of God, being prepared for rulership in His family? There are so many things we don't understand yet, but we will. But let's at least reflect on what we do understand, what we can understand, to get our orientation in place, that we can be fit laborers in God's kingdom. Not knowing all things now, but we certainly will in the day when He comes. There is a little song that I've known since I was a kid. Some of you may have heard of it, but I want to play it at this time because I think it sort of expresses the gist of what I wanted to convey to you today. But we don't know. We see through a glass darkly, but there's a time when that window pane will be wiped clean and we'll see clearly.
Tempted and tried, we're often made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. And then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year? Thank you. when we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes down from his home in the sky.